So, how's the paleo thing going, man? I heard you actually been losing weight.
Yeah, I lost 5 pounds and DJ lost. How much you lose, DJ? 7.5 in like 10 days, two
nice.
Weeks.
Nice. Yeah. At what point do you get to hold up a pair of big pants and take a picture of yourself?
I don't know. I just posted a picture of me just wearing a tinfoil hat today and people thought it looked ugly, so I took it down.
Nice. Yeah. Because if you lose too much weight...
I was preparing for the podcast. Uh-oh. What's that for?
Okay. I was going to say, be careful. If you lose too much weight, Subway might hire you for a commercial.
Nah, because they're not really...
They're not paleo. Yeah. They got too much bread.
We're doing a modified paleo. I think I said it's like, you know, you're not supposed to have any dairy. And, you know, I've gone from having a gallon of milk a day to having like a tablespoon in my coffee, which is not true paleo, but, you know, it's a big
change. Well, true paleo is debatable. I've heard Mark Sassoon say that it's okay to eat, you know, raw milk or raw cheese every now and then. It's not
I mean, didn't
deal.
They drink milk back then?
Well,
yeah. Milk was really an agricultural invention. Yeah. I mean, if you had a bunch of cows, that's really where you get your milk from. I mean, there wasn't hunters that, like, hunted down a cow or a buffalo and like, roped him and forcibly milked it and ran away.
No.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. I've always wanted to, like, go to Goodwill and buy, like, some size 48 waist pants and just hold them up and have my wife take a picture, post it on my Facebook.
Yeah, but for you, it'd be what you're going to grow into.
Oh, that's cool.
I agree.
What? Screw you guys. I'm going home.
All right. Here, Frank. Frank is the co-host today on Cream Fiends Podcast. I almost said the Paleo Podcast. Okay. Yep. So yeah. I've been reading about things. Hey, I wanted to say the streaming
you
feed
told,
is,
you told me you were done reading. Like I tried to get you to read a book and you're like, "No, I just want to watch visual media now."
No, I read a book today. I read Anatomy of the State by Murray Rothbard.
The whole thing?
Yeah. It's 50 pages, man. So they're short pages. I read it in the backyard in like an hour and 10 minutes or something.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty chill.
I want to recommend that for everybody because see, I've never read any of those old dry or academic what I call bow tie libertarianism, which is like Lee Rockwell, you know.
Bow tie libertarians aren't always dry. Jeff Tucker is hilarious and he wears a bow tie.
I know, but they're all in that like scene that cuts us out. You know, like Lou Rockwell won't come on the Anarchy Gumbo and, you know, they're all great and I can't badmouth them at all except to say Lou Rockwell's like 108, but, you know, they're all great. They're all great. And really, I didn't really realize like everything that comes out of our mouths and everything that comes out of, you know, except the crocodile and tranny hooker stuff, everything that comes out of our mouths is paraphrasing Murray Rothbard through like Ben Quaker, through LRN, through, you know, Stefan Molyneux, whatever. So if you want to go to the source, I'm going to call today's episode Anatomy of the State. And on the Freedom Fiends, I'm going to link the PDF to Anatomy of the State. And I think Fiends should go read it to like really understand where this stuff comes from. Cause that guy, you know, he took von Mises and kind of stood on his shoulders and perfected it. And he invented anarcho-capitalism and the phrase anarcho-capitalism. So I think people should go read, Anatomy of the State. You can read it, you know, in an hour, 2 hours tops.
Yeah. Completely. And he's like the OG. He's like the Big Daddy Kane of the libertarian world.
He'd hate hip hop though. He hated rock and roll. He was really square in that way. But he liked jazz music. He didn't like modern jazz. You know, there's a statement I've made that I attributed. I read somewhere that Lou Rockwell said, like, the problem with modern libertarianism is its embrace of pornography and atonal music. And I don't think he said that. I think Murray Rothbard may have said that. Sounds more like him.
Yeah, maybe. I seem to remember hearing some quote about what was bad and what was good, and there was bad music, and he seemed to associate that with rock music. Not 100% on that, but so what? If the guy was, you know, 80 years old and didn't like listening to modern rock radio, big freaking deal.
Yeah,
so he invented anarcho-capitalism, so I think we can let him slide.
So
on
we've
that.
Stood on his shoulders, danced on his grave, and made it better by adding crocodile and tranny hookers in hip hop, which is what you need. You know, we've still got the principles. You know, the state is immoral. You have to hate it. It's all coercion. He came up with all that, man. He said that. He's the one that said all that.
Well, the thing about it is, it's supposed to be about the ideas, right? Not the man. I mean, we're not espousing the great man theory and saying that Murray Rothbard should have ruled us all, and now we should all worship his
and a lot
his
of
dead
libertarians
grave as if
do.
He were a martyr.
People quote him like he's Jesus, which is why I've avoided him. But I finally broke down and read him today, so I think everyone should do what I do because, you know, eventually Neiman and I are going to be the libertarian dictators of the world, and we're going to be sending people off. If you've read this book, you don't have to go to the libertarian reindoctrination camps.
Y'all better get on that. Start reading.
Yeah, yeah. You get on the golden floppy disk of redemption.
It's
redemption.
Yeah. It's supposed to be about the idea.
Yeah.
Hey, have y'all been watching mainstream news at all lately?
A little bit here. A little bit.
No, it's not like, really. What's been making you sick, Frank?
The Republican Party's kind of co-opting Ayn Rand and
Ben Quaker did say that they would come up with a false Ron Paul, and it's Paul Ryan. He's an Ayn Rand fan. Although he actually backpedaled on that and said, like, well, I was young and foolish. But, you know, they're still quoting it. They're trying to get the Ron Paul fans. And really, Ayn Rand was not a libertarian. She was, she wanted the government out of business. But, you know, she was pro IP and she liked some wars because, you know, you could sell them chipped beef and bombshells if you're in business.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think any Ron Paul fan is going to be foolish enough to fall for Paul Ryan. I mean,
maybe 1% of them.
Ron Paul fans are too smart.
I would hope so. I mean, anybody who takes more than a cursory glance at Paul Ryan can realize that he's ridiculous. He's not trying to balance the budget. His budget was supposed to be balanced in 30 years. Like who thinks 30 years to a balanced budget is libertarian or drastic cuts? That's not cuts. He's cutting proposed increases, as Ron Paul says all the time. So I think anybody can see through that. I think it's a completely ridiculous idea. But we'll have more for you coming up after we pay some bills here.
Fiends.
Worms. Fiends. Worms. The state worms. Are insignificant. Worms. Yo.
FiendsFiends.com.
Check in, Frank. Check, check.
Check, check. What's up, Fiends?
What's up, Fiends?
Worms.
And if you want to check in with the Fiends, you can call us too. The call-in number is 307-215-5171. Give us a ring.
Call us.
I got to plug in the, keep talking.
Michael's got to do stuff. Okay. We'll talk while Michael does stuff, sets stuff up. Apparently, he's too busy eating steak.
He's slacking
with the Fiends.
That's a quality problem, man. Quality
complains
problem.
About my vacation time while he's stuffing his
You're
face
You're on vacation
with meat.
Right now, man. I tried to get you to do something this morning. You're like, I'm on vacation.
See, the difference between a vacation and a weekend trip, right?
True.
I like the way your dad got you to come see him. He's like, yeah, I'm in town. I'm 3 hours away. And you're like, I don't know. And you're like, he said, well, you went that far for a burger recently. So how did he know that? Did Frank tell him or does he listen to the Fiends?
No, he didn't say that. I just felt guilty about that internally. And I used that with my wife. I was like, well, last weekend we did drive 3.5 hours for In-N-Out Burger. So I think we can swing driving for 3.5 hours
to go see your
dad.
Yeah.
So someone's been ever since we got the Fiends Radio streaming feed up on iTunes Radio, we're getting a lot more listeners constantly. And someone in San Francisco, someone in Pittsburgh has been listening for 2 days straight. Someone in San Francisco area has been listening for 3 days straight. DJ said they need it. But I was thinking it could be like
San Francisco.
Maybe it's an ex-stalker of mine, or maybe it's someone playing it on the radio or bothering a neighbor with it or using it to scare off burglars while they're out of town. Maybe they died in front of their computer. They got tased with too much liberty and it killed them.
Maybe it's good music to detox the state in your body, too.
True.
or they're kicking dope. It's in a town called Novato.
Or to shoot heroin, too.
It's in Novato, California, which is, I guess it's Spanish for Novatos. I don't know. It's in Marin.
That's racist. Or as Frank says now, that's statist.
That's statist.
Yeah. You know, whenever people say that, like, those old bull-tied libertarians were racist because they, like, tried to attract the southern vote in the 70s, you know, try to not vote, but, you know, support, you know, like Lou Rockwell and Murray Rothbard, like, tried to get the South will rise again types by pointing out to them that, you know, the South did have a right to secede.
Yeah.
Whoever thinks that, you know, that means they were racist. I mean, it was a Jew and a Catholic, you know, how many good old Southern boys really want to embrace what a Jew and a Catholic have to say?
Yeah. Well, I feel like we have an opportunity to do things with other groups. I mean, as libertarians, a lot of the things we disagree with pretty much everything, or literally everything the government does. So if you know, your Christian rightists down south hate the government controlling their kids and telling their kids that God doesn't exist, well, we can agree with them on that. We can say, hey, well, maybe the government shouldn't be in the business of. Or if anti-war liberals think that it's ridiculous that the government, you know, goes on war adventures all the time, we can agree with that and we can tell them. So I don't think it was racist of Rockwell or Rothbard to try to reach out and do that. I think we should be doing that all the time, but and then use that as a foot in the door to explain.
Yeah, but
to them,
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be played in Southern Baptist homeschooling sessions. As soon as we start talking about the trannies and Crocodile, man, it's over.
Oh yeah, that's the devil.
That's the devil.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I guess so. Well, whatever. Trannies exist, and so does Crocodile. So get over it.
Yeah, and it's an important part of your recovery from the state if you're into those things.
I guess I never understood that idea of protecting yourself from certain knowledge and protecting your kids or younger children from certain knowledge. I mean, I guess people say, oh, well, kids have a right to be innocent. I don't think they have that right.
Well,
and
actually,
I don't think that knowledge can hurt anybody.
Murray Rothbard goes into that in Anatomy of the State. He talks about how in a free market, intelligent people would be employed, but intellectuals, pure intellectuals, would probably not. And pure intellectuals probably only exist with jobs because of the state, because the state needs them to codify and put into words their to convince the teachers who teach the public schools and colleges.
Well, I think it depends on what the work is, because I think if you write something that people are willing to pay to read, then you're going to have a job. Or if you do research and development for a company, like in the sciences, you know, if a company's trying to invent new drugs or new types of technology, like brain implants to let you communicate cellularly through your frontal lobe or something, those people will get paid bank still, I think. But you
People buy Murray Rothbard's books on YouTube, on Amazon. They do pretty well, but they're also put out Creative Commons by the Von Mises Institute, so they're free to download.
Right, right. To where it's almost like a donation thing, because you can get it for free, and pretty much everyone knows that. So,
well, today,
if you buy an actual book, it's because you want to support.
Put it this way: if I had a 3D printer that could print books that looked better than printing out the PDF today, I would have paid. Or, you know, if I lived next door to a bookstore, I would have gone and bought this book because I really wanted to sit in the backyard and read it. And I don't have a tablet reader, and I don't really want one. And they don't work that well in the sun anyway. So I ended up printing this thing out and taking the pages in the backyard. So, you know, the thoughts, we don't believe in IP. IP, you know, ideas can't be sold or owned. They can be sold, but they can't be owned. But really, when you're paying for a book, I would have paid for the privilege of a nicely printed book of this today if I could have had it in my hand when I wanted it.
Right, right. Yeah. But again, you're not paying for the ideas there. You're paying for the fact that somebody took the time to print it neatly on pages and put a binding in and put a colorful cover on and ship it to the local Barnes & Noble or whatever.
Speaking of physical media, of things that are free because they're, you know, IP free media. The new DVD is out. I'm holding a copy in my hand of Gun Training and the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. And it's for sale. It's going to be shipping on Amazon in about 2 weeks. You can pre-order it there. But it's really cool. I got this the same day that I got the Fiends buttons. And people should buy Fiends buttons. You know, and I'm thinking, like, I'm glad the Von Mises Institute exists. It's a great thing. I mean, I really think that part of the path to liberty is, you know, having a place where people can go to be lectured on the thoughts of the masters by other masters. But I really think that the most important part of spreading liberty right now is buttons. So go on freedomfeeds.com and click on the link that says buttons and buy the buttons. They're inexpensive and they're wonderful, and people should buy them. I really think they're going to become a new alternative currency like Bitcoin. So if you get in at the ground floor, you might be better off, you know, if you buy a bunch of them. So, yeah.
Well, I think in today's world where pop culture drives everything, I think it's more than convincing scholars that the ideas of liberty are right. I think it's about making the ideas of liberty cool.
Yeah.
It's more about convincing kids and young people that Obama's stupid and
which is probably
and
why
ridiculous and
which
square.
Is probably why Lou Rockwell blogged your hip hop song. He did, right? It was him. Yeah, and like I really doubt Lou Rockwell listens to much hip hop. But he sees that, you know, where Murray Rothbard probably would have thought it was the devil's music. You know, Lou Rockwell, even though he's kind of a square, you know, religious dude, he's hip and he's right on, and he sees where the kids are at today. And he knew that was a toe tapping hot dance number and blogged it.
Yeah, yeah. I have a Facebook friend that's a fan of the Eye on Me video. And he was telling me the other day, I mean, as much as the Keynes versus Hayek rap video is cool, it's not really the kind of thing that'll get you moving.
It's,
you
know, Schoolhouse, it's kind of rock, man. It's very Schoolhouse Rock, you know?
Right. Like, I mean, you couldn't hear somebody playing Keynes versus Hayek bumping in their system as they drive down the block, you know?
Yeah.
When you, I don't mean maybe. I've done that with my dance.
You can, definitely. And then you accidentally turn on your iPod and you think that people are coming to kill you because you hear hip-hop out at the gun range.
Because whenever you listen to hip-hop, you get scared, Michael.
Ah, Randy England's calling. No, I'm kidding. Randy England, right. Are you on here?
Hello, this is Randy England.
Hang on, we're going into a sales pitch here. Just hold on the line and we'll have you on in a moment. Thank you.
Cool.
Want to search porn in private? Or maybe you just want to talk to your friends without some tech goon hired off a pizza box snooping through your private thoughts. MetroPipe VPN is a secure computing service operated by privacy-loving anarcho-capitalists. Accounts can be had for as little as $7.50 a month. They take Bitcoin, don't keep any logs, and hate nanny intrusions as much as you do. Get a 25% discount by going to metropipe.net/fiends. That's metropipe.net/fiends. Should decisions on what you put in your body be left up to people whose very job depends on keeping certain plants illegal? Or do you believe in freedom of ingestion? The Janome Project is a cannabis science community founded by a leading DNA scientist. We fight ignorance with information. We don't have all of the answers, but we put all of our proceeds into finding them. If this requires sequencing the genomes of a forbidden plant, we've done it. If it requires leaving the country for the free pursuit of science, we've done that as well. The Janome Project is an ongoing crowdsourced experiment in free pursuit of the truth on cannabinoid sciences. Join us and participate in studying Mary Jane's genome. Get the app by searching Jane-Ome on iTunes. The app is only $1.99 and all proceeds go to furthering and disseminating scientific truth. You must be 17 or older to download the app. Search Janome on iTunes. That's Jane-Ome.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for 4 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Warrant for getting blood and a DWI.
I don't have a DWI. Are you in
Wyoming? You were talking about that.
Are you picking up a conversation you and I had like 4 months ago as if we just like went in the other room for a sec?
No, I'm not. I thought that you were talking about taking people's blood in the state of Wyoming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the fact that the cops can now do a blood test.
Were you talking about that, Nima, before I got on here?
Not today, but we've talked about it a lot.
We've talked about it before.
It might be playing on the streaming server right now.
Oh, are you listening? Yeah, you probably listen to our streaming server of archives.
That's probably right.
Okay, well, if you want to listen to the show, you got to go to the LRN link. Let me send it to you here. Although, you should only listen after, because otherwise it'll feed back. But let me send it to you.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. So, nah, we weren't talking about that. We're talking about Freedom Fiends merchandise.
We can talk about it. Randy wants to talk about it, though. Yeah. That's a good topic.
Well, Randy's an attorney, so I want to hear anything he has to say about the law, because most people pretending to practice law, most people practicing law as libertarians are not really lawyers. So,
well, one thing that I was going to say was that here in Missouri, we've had this, you get a search warrant for blood. We've had it for a real long time, even back when I was a prosecutor, which has been like 6 years ago now. And the thing that I always, I guess, wish somebody would do, you know, a defendant, is that when you refuse to, say, blow in the breathalyzer, then they take you over to the hospital, they get the warrant, and then they're going to take your blood. I wish somebody who is in there as a defendant would just look at the at the this is somebody who doesn't want to give the blood, because there can be some penalties for not giving the blood. At least in Missouri there are. But if you don't want your blood to be taken and you've already refused it and now they've gotten a warrant, they have to bring a medical professional in. I'd want to look at that nurse in the eye and say, "Nurse, you do not have my consent. Don't take my blood. I'm going to sue you." And I wonder what would happen.
Yeah,
if I was the nurse, I'd say, "I'm not touching this one," you know. Well, because normally when you go there, you have to fill out all these forms and take, you know, permission slips and everything. Boy, when the police take you in there with a search warrant, you're not signing anything.
Yeah, you know what I'd be afraid would happen is that then the cop
and
would
HIPAA and all
the
that.
Cop would take your blood.
Yeah, well, you know, that's something that they've talked about doing, and actually it has happened. But, well, not a cop. It has to be somebody that's trained. Now, you could train a cop to do it.
An EMT would probably do it.
Yeah. Well, and what they've done in some places, it had cops that are trained as EMTs. But, and the other issue is, you know, well, what if you say, "Hey, I'm not going to hold still for this." I mean, they literally need to. There's some places they actually have to have a chair they could strap you down into, kind of like
they did that in Wyoming, and five cops held a guy down in the hospital while he got his blood taken.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you know, I don't even know if the Supreme Court would go along with something like that if there was a real potential of harming someone, you know, when you were trying to get the blood out of them. They might not consider that to be a reasonable search and seizure. So I'm kind of curious about what would happen if somebody really wanted to push this thing, and then somebody
wanted
to. We're
coming back in here. Here we're coming back in live. We did the fiends.
We are live now.
We're the fiends on the tightrope here, doing tricks, recording, talking during. We're talking to Randy England. There's an interview with him on the Anarchy Gumbo. If you want to check it out, it's great. He's an attorney in Missouri.
And
we're talking about
blood to Randy about cops trying to draw your blood here in Wyoming. And what I wonder too, you know, if you want to listen to what Randy was saying before, you can go look it up on the archives. But Randy, do you feel like this is kind of a Fifth Amendment thing as well? I mean, could that be a way to attack this case? I mean, if you're not supposed to self-incriminate yourself, I mean, doesn't that include any of your bodily fluids, which are part of your body, part of your property?
Well. No, the courts don't consider it that way. They look at incriminating yourself as something that they call testimonial. And so if they take your blood or your DNA or your fingerprints or any of those things, they don't consider them testimonial.
Well, I've actually heard of Christian sovereign citizens refusing to give DNA or be fingerprinted and said that belongs to God, not to the state. I'm sure
well,
that's not legal.
I think that's true.
I think it's true.
I'm
too.
Just talking about what they think, not what
I know.
I think
I've been reading Murray Rothbard all day, and I'm kind of like, the state. We want to talk about the Supreme Court. What are you talking about, man? Let's talk about freedom. Although you're an expert more than most people we talk to about the law, so I'll love to talk to you about the law. But you ever read Murray Rothbard?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I
agree with almost everything he says. I got a couple problems. The only thing that Murray Rothbard has that a main thing I can't wrap my head around is the idea that, say, mom can go to the hospital, give birth to a baby, and bring it home, bring it in the house, take it into the back bedroom, put it in the nursery, you know, in the bed, close the door, never go back in, and let the kid die and rot back there. And I always thought that...
I haven't read that particular bit of Rothbard. What book is that in?
It's well, this would be in, For a New Liberty. I think it's in there, the Libertarian Manifesto. I mean, the guy is just absolutely brilliant, you know, 99% of the time. But part of the non-aggression principle, the way that he applies it, is that you can abandon a child... and abandon a child in a place where they could not get any kind of help or anything, literally to starve them in the back room of your house. And the idea there is that, look, you're not stopping the kid from getting up and walking out and getting a job. You know, I mean, they don't have to starve, but you don't have a duty to do it. And I think there are legal theories that answer that question without violating the non-aggression principle, mainly by the idea that you cannot put a person in danger, in a dangerous situation, and then walk away and go, it's not my fault they died. You know, it, I mean, if you push somebody across, off a building and they hit the ground and they're dying, you're going to, you know, you're going to be guilty of murder unless you go in and help them. I mean, you cannot put someone in a dangerous situation and then not stand for the harm that comes from it. And I think that's the same thing you'd have with a child abandonment.
I think that might be, what's the word for that, Nima? Libertarian macho flash. You know, we're trying to like extrapolate anarchism to its extremes of giving a an example that would shock people and saying it's within someone's realm. For instance, you know, saying something like, well, of course I think 5-year olds should be allowed to have crack cocaine and submachine guns. Why not?
You know? Yeah, but when I'm trying to think of a theory of why libertarianism is right, I'm trying to get around those shocking situations, not step into them, and I don't think it's necessary to allow another person to abandon a child. I think a person who would put a child in a dangerous situation and harm comes from it could be punished for that in a libertarian society. And I don't get the necessity of just allowing that to happen when the person who does it is the person who created the dangerous situation.
Okay.
Well, I think they would be punished inevitably by social ostracism. I mean, if you had found out that your neighbor had done that to her child, I mean, would you talk to them anymore? I mean, wouldn't you tell people about that? I think it'd get around town.
Now you're talking about, you know, there's a couple of schools of thought, you know, in anarchism where the people who believe that, hey, we can solve everything by ostracism. Maybe it's my 14 years as a prosecutor coming out, but I just don't believe that. I think there's going to have to be some people that are going to have to be removed from society. And if you don't remove them, I imagine there'll be, well, if anybody's scared enough, they're just going to kill them. I mean, maybe you'd have to murder everybody that you couldn't ostracize, but there could be a middle ground in there with an incarceration system paid for, of course, by the labor of the people that had to be incarcerated, which would also double as a system for repaying, you know, paying restitution for crimes. But I'm not one that buys the ostracism would solve everything, but I know that there's some people that are. As for my neighbor, letting their infant die in a back bedroom. My position is that I would have the right, if I knew about it, having the right to defend a third person, I have a right to go in there and save that child if I wanted and not be guilty of a trespass. And I would say that somebody could come in and vindicate that child's death. And that person could be punished for what they've done and still be totally within the non-aggression principle. I don't know. My thought.
Nima? Frank?
Okay. No, I could see that. What do you think, Frank?
I mean, are you worried about as far as if we were living in a libertarian paradise, what the punishment would be, right? Because, I mean, that stuff happens anyway, whether you have a government or not.
Yeah, that's a good question. What kind of punishment would be appropriate to come to bear on that? And who would decide such a thing? And how would it be decided?
Usually you find those things after it's too late, after the baby's dead.
I also think that if you want to look at the baby as a property rights issue, the father and possibly other people in the immediate family would have a property right claim to go save the baby.
Yeah,
we have a claim on it.
Those are no different than the problems we have today in society for every real crime. I mean, you know, you're going to have murders, whether it's a libertarian society or a totalitarian society. You just do the best you can to discourage things. And individual societies should probably be the ones to decide what the punishments for these things should be. Obviously, you know, at the lower down level, whatever sort of judicial dispute system that you come up with is going to make those decisions, and there's going to have to be a consensus in the community if you wanted it to happen.
Yeah. You know, Rob, we've joked on here a lot about, like,
Do you think it should be more on a case-by-case basis?
Probably. I'm a big fan of jury nullification. That's kind of a case by case concept.
Yeah.
And I don't know that
yeah.
you have a
yeah, jury. I kind of feel like each act is completely well, yeah, but I mean, any situation like this is going to be completely unique, and so I feel like, and I don't know if people should be standing in judgment, but I guess that's why juries were thought of, you know, as far as I know, before American society. So I kind of think that that's the idea of the society would decide what the appropriate punishment was for each specific crime.
I think that's probably true, although there's no way that you're not going to have certain agreeable standards that come about. Like, well, murder is one thing. I mean, that's the most horrible thing that you're going to have. But like for damage, for theft, somebody burglarizes your house and steals your TV set, and then you come out and you find out that, hey, it cost $500 to fix the damage to the door, $1,000 for the TV they stole, and it also cost $2,000 to catch the SOB and to get them into a court somewhere to convict them. So add up all that money, and they at least owe that, right?
To liberty but short on cash.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Let's talk through this break and then have
you want to keep rolling during the break?
Yeah, let's keep rolling and then have him go off the phone before the end of the break, and then we'll come in and take another caller.
No, yeah, I was just going to say that I think that even though I agree with Nima that the case-by-case thing is appropriate. I mean, that's why jury nullification is a good idea even now. But still, when you have people in a community that see things, you know, once you start settling on this is the appropriate result, if you come up and, you know, kick somebody in the behind and hurt them, it should be this. And I mean, you're going to have standards that kind of become the consensus, and everybody's just going to know that if you do this thing to harm somebody else, here's going to be the crime. I mean, there's no way to avoid that, even if you consider each one carefully. You know, I mean, this is what we always had when I was a prosecutor. When you had cases that were, every case was exactly like the other, like they have a DWI case or somebody got caught driving with a revoked license and it was a first offense and there was nothing particularly egregious about it. And of course, those cases don't even have a victim. The judge would always say okay, and he would just name what the standard punishment was, and the prosecutor couldn't get him to give any more if he wanted, and the defendant couldn't get him to give any less. I mean, it was so standardized because it happened so often that everybody knew exactly what was going to happen and nobody could change it. And that's going to happen in a libertarian society too. So hopefully not for driving while revoked. Certainly not for that.
Yeah.
Well, hey guys, thanks for letting me come over.
Well, hey, since we got you here.
yeah, even if I was on the wrong topic, you know.
It's all right. There's no wrong topic here at all.
Oh, but I did send you the link. That was perfect.
I did send you the link. There is no wrong topic.
That's what the show's for.
Okay, well, thanks. And I think I hear my wife calling me for supper, so perfect.
Yep. All right, man. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, man.
Thanks for calling us.
You bet. Bye.
Yep.
Thanks.
Peace.
Adios.
Nice. Yeah, I'm stealing time from the fiends here. I'm working
That's
on
fine.
My, I'm working on my business
Frank,
plan.
At the top of the next segment, give out the
What's fiends.
What's up, fiends?
If you want to call us, you can reach us at 307-215-5171.
One more time, Frank.
All right, if you want to reach the fiends, you can call us at 307-215-5171.
That's it. That's my little brother.
What's up?
Yeah.
That's Mini Fiend, Frank Vidotti.
Mini Fiend, Frank Fiend.
Although yeah. he's taller than both of the actual fiends.
True.
I was during that interview with Randy.
So, what's up, Michael?
During that mini interview with Randy, I was stealing time from the fiends. I'm like, I have this little private chat window open, and I'm building a business plan with somebody here. So you guys talk for a little while. Hello?
Well, I need another
dead
beer.
Air, man. Dead air. I'm here.
Okay, we got a long break coming up after this. You can grab yourself some beer.
What's up?
You need a beer?
You said dead air.
Is that what you said?
Oh.
I said dead air.
You got to pick up the convo. Frank.
Yeah, I was saying I need another beer.
Okay. Back on topic, Frank. You were telling us, I don't know if you want to go into this, but do you want to tell us about your little plan, your little good anarchist plan coming up with the you know what I'm talking about.
FUG?
Well, what's going on? You said you were worried about doing this thing, and I told you to just go ahead and do it anyway. Remember?
Oh, as far as the signs?
There you go. Okay. I wanted you to say it.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. My friend Sebastian, he's a good airbrush artist. Shout out to him. And I had an idea to get some signs. Have him airbrush a few things, anarchist-minded and libertarian-minded, because I had him, during voting season, I had him airbrush me a sign that said, why partake in a system that takes away your freedoms? And I posted in front of the signs that say, you know, vote so-and-so for sheriff or vote so-and-so for constable. So I had an idea for a few more signs. And first one is, you know, it's not edgy. I mean, it won't get me any attention as far as,
Will
I wanted it to say, you know, vote for nobody.
Will it get you any tail? Will it get you any tail?
I don't
tail?
Know. Do That's women like activists?
New Hampshire.
I have a girlfriend already, so...
Yeah, she's here, so don't get him in trouble.
Yeah, don't get him in trouble. She listens to the podcast. My wife and I don't
like doing activism, and if I started doing it, she'd support me in it, but I think it would... she likes that we're, like, locally low profile, you know? Yeah. I'm not an out-in-the-streets kind of guy anyway. That's just how I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Frank's idea of putting up signs like in the middle of all the other political signs where they all are, just show people that, hey,
something out of the blue.
You don't have to vote for one of these bags. I mean, you don't even have to vote.
Yeah.
Because you see those and you just think tacitly, I think the average person just says, oh, well, that's the democratic process. And that's how decisions are made, is people put up these signs and then we decide who to vote for.
Another thing is, you know nothing of these people and then they get elected to represent you. But how can you represent me if I don't even know you?
Like, yeah.
That doesn't make sense, you know?
Yeah. So I like the vote for nobody idea.
Yeah.
There was a meme floating around on Facebook the other day I thought was hilarious. On a trash can, somebody in just like sidewalk chalk wrote, put your vote here, and had like an arrow going down towards the trash can. And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. Put your vote there in the trash
can. What you're doing.
That's about as good as it's going to do.
Yeah. That's what you're doing already.
Yeah.
Your vote does nothing.
Yeah. It might also be fun, Frank, to maybe get to know these, you know, so-and-sos for constables and sheriff, and like write signs like kill the little kid and have an arrow pointing to the constable.
I don't know. I don't want to get to know them.
You don't want to make it personal.
No, I don't want to get to know them, no.
Okay, fair enough. I just mean to dig up dirt on them, you know.
Yeah, I understand that. But I mean, aren't they hard to talk to in the first place? Usually when you're trying to interview somebody like that, they don't want to be transparent or talk about anything.
Nobody's going to say their own dirt. You'd have to find it through other means. One of the best ways...
we live in Texas, though, so...
We do. We do. But you can look up... you can find if people are involved in court cases, civil cases.
Yeah.
I remember in journalism school, our professor told us, if you're trying to dig dirt on somebody, you know, plug their name into some kind of a court database. Mm-hmm. See if they've had any civil cases, especially things like a divorce.
Yeah.
Because the evidence can be public when it's discovery in some cases, and you can find out things about people that they wouldn't want you to know that way by just looking up their past court records.
Yeah. Although I feel like for my generation, talking about, you know, ideas of anarchy and being free, it's like talking to a brick wall.
For your generation?
I kind of
thought younger kids would be better at that kind of
thing. No, they're obsessed with, you know, I mean, football's cool. I love football. But, I mean, they don't care about anything but, you know, pop culture, watching football game this Sunday, going to Hooters, but Hooters is cool. But, I mean, you know,
they want to have fun and not watch Republican national conventions.
Well, nobody likes to watch Republican national conventions except Republicans. But no, I mean, like, these are things they should want to learn about and know about, is, you know, wanting to be free, but they're kind of brainwashed already.
No, you're right, and that's why we talked about that earlier. I think the where you can really win is making anarchy cool, you know, making liberty cool, making cops square, making the state square.
There needs to be an anarchy TV show, like on actual cable.
Yeah, maybe, but do kids in your generation even watch cable anymore? I mean, don't they just watch Hulu and Netflix?
I know a lot of my friends love Parks and Recreation, and they love Breaking Bad, so.
Well, they're halfway there, right? Yeah. Ron Swanson's the coolest guy.
Ron Swanson is so awesome.
And he's completely anarchy.
You know, he did a...
I haven't watched much Parks and Recreation, but...
He did a chat on Reddit. You know, I am so-and-so, ask me anything, where it's verified by the moderators that they are. Yeah. He's not libertarian, but he's still funny as hell.
He is Ron Swanson.
I loved one of his answers. So someone said, what is your favorite firearm?
That sucks.
They asked, what is your favorite firearm? And he said, the trebuchet. Do you know what that is? Are you guys a delay? You get a delay.
Which is a catapult for those who don't know.
Are you getting a delay? Because you're laughing like 10 seconds after I tell a joke. You are getting a delay, aren't you?
I don't think we're getting a delay.
Okay.
We must be. I mean, there's a delay inherent to the way Mumble works.
Yeah.
I'm going to go off for a minute and come back on, and you guys can do the same.
Except me. Gives me a thumbs up. I'm like, all right.
All right.
That's status.
Are you saying soccer moms are more status than Mexicans?
Well, it's interesting because people always complain about, you know, Mexicans steal all our stuff. But it's like, apparently this Mexican feels like the state is taking more than he's being given. And the soccer mom feels she's being given more stolen stuff than is being taken.
Yeah. Well, think about this. This Mexican guy in Texas has to face harassment from these freaking people who call them illegal aliens just because he wants to cross a imaginary line.
And, well, you don't even know if he was illegal.
Yeah, he might.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that's racist. But, well, that's true. That too, I'm sorry.
You did it.
But no, I get what you're saying, Frank. But I think soccer moms can be more status than anybody else.
Well,
often,
what do they watch? What do soccer moms watch? They watch The View. They watch Oprah.
They watch the local news.
They watch Dr. Phil.
It's less about what they watch and more about what they do. They run the PTA. Soccer moms, you know, in their own incarnation, were who forced prohibition. You know, think about it.
Yeah. Yeah,
plus they're gold diggers, so it was used to entitlement.
Not all of them.
Used to entitlements.
Yeah, that's not always true, but
you're getting a little personal, Frank.
I think most soccer moms are gold diggers.
You talking about just
because the soccer moms?
You talking about a particular soccer mom?
He is.
Who?
Oh yes. Yeah, I am.
Beef.
Yeah, we got some beef over here.
That's all right. I think he's talking about
his former stepmom.
Yeah, we're talking about our former stepmom.
We don't have to go into it. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's a little too personal.
You know, if you want to lump all people together, I would say that stepmoms are all evil because I had one that was horrible.
Yeah, I guess good call calling us out on that. I'm sure there can be soccer moms out there that are good, and there might be libertarian soccer moms out there. Stepdads
are good.
I probably shouldn't collectivize.
I'm a stepdad.
Because you're a stepdad?
Yeah, so they're good.
I think me and Nima, having the amount of stepdads we've had,
you know your mom's listening, right?
Well, no, that's not meant in a bad way. You know,
he's not hating on mom.
No, I'm not hating on mom. I'm hating on
some older
white stepdads. Yeah, but no, I think that
back in the day,
I think that's kind of what gave me and Nima our anti-authoritarianism. Yep. You know.
And we've talked about that a little bit before.
Well, good. Mom did well then.
Oh yeah, right. She raised some good anarchists.
It was all part of her master plan.
Oh, we love her. Let's just leave.
No, I can't complain about.
By the way, yeah, shout out to Mama. I love you, Mom.
We love
you,
Mom.
She's gonna call in. She's gonna call in and scold you guys and me.
She is.
I have to go home. You know,
she's gonna tan our hides. I'm actually seeing her tomorrow. So.
You live there, huh? Okay.
Yeah,
Frank lives
Well, give
there.
Out the number. I'm sure she has it in her auto dial, but or her phone book. Her auto dial.
Her auto dial.
All right, Mama, moms or soccer moms or Mexicans, you can call us at 307-215-5171.
I'm talking like Mr. Burns. I'm not that old. I think I'm older than your mother, though. I think we've established that.
Ice cream, pretzel bread, and your auto dialers.
I think I'm a couple years older than your mother, and I'm hanging out with you guys. I'm 48.
Yeah, but see, you're still young at heart.
Are you saying mom's
not? So's your mom.
No, mom's young at heart, too. Come on. Y'all are just... Damn.
Damn.
Y'all are hounding me.
Yeah.
It makes good radio.
It's really a fiend gang up.
It really does. Gang up. You guys both pronounce your G's as hard G's. You say the phone telephone ringer instead of ringer, which is not improper. It's just a thing you both do. What's that from?
It's Who taught you that? We're from the South.
Is that a South thing?
I think so. I don't know.
Swangin'
and banging.
Fiend phone.
Uh-oh. It's Mama.
Fiend phone.
I don't play the food.
Hey, Mama. What's up, Mama?
This is Mo's Bodine.
Oh, God.
It's Mom. All right, I'm going to
say. Now, my name is Mo's Bodine.
Okay. What do you want to talk about today, Mo Bodine?
Well, we're going into a break, actually.
We're going into a break. Yeah. Why don't you hang on the line here for a second? And we'll talk.
Okay.
Fiends. Don't worm me, bro. Don't worm me, bro.
Don't hurt me, Mom.
Don't spank me, Mama.
Don't spank me, Mama.
Mama said knock you out. All right.
You're not saying the Freedom Fiends.
Welcome to Freedom Fiends Live. Today, the topic is anarchists and the mothers who love them despite what they do. And in this corner, we have Frank and Nima Vidotti. And in the other corner, we have their mother, Lisa, who's calling in to reprimand them, I believe. how you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing great.
Cool.
I'm very proud of my boys.
Okay.
And I like to think that I raised them to think for themselves, you know, rather than take on what I believe in life.
They have.
And I think that's where this whole movement needs to go.
My dad said the same thing, but then when I disagree with him, he doesn't like it.
Within the whole live pair idea, and I know it would all work out in the end, but I'm the type that thinks in ways, solution-wise. What's the first step? What's the next step to where people wouldn't struggle too much?
Riot and die? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the part that I can't quite wrap my head around.
What have you learned from your sons about all of this?
A lot. And it's made me think differently. Because I am more of the liberal mind, which I know you don't like at all. But I
shooting crocodile and banging tranny hookers as much as the next liberal.
My heart always goes out to children who aren't born in good circumstances.
Right.
I guess, you know,
and you wonder how they'd be taken care of without a state, right?
Yeah, those are the ones I worry about. Not so much adults, but kids.
But Mom, part of your job is taking care of kids like that. And usually when they're wronged, some of the people that wrong them the most is their public school teachers and their public school system,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
So don't you see how the state is itself the villain when it comes to a lot of kids?
It creates the problems in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and then tries to look like the hero while half-ass solving them.
Well, for example, you know, we talk about the public school. It isn't working. It's a total failure. There's so much more out there.
You're speaking from experience. You're a public school teacher, right? You are, right, or were? Are you still?
17 years.
You still?
No. I was for 17 years.
If you still were, would you feel any trepidation about speaking freely about these things on the internet? Like, do you think your job would be at risk?
I pretty much had to resign because of my thoughts on how things were going.
Awesome.
And that's why I resigned, because they put the pressure on me to resign.
That's why Nima resigned from doing mainstream media, for the same reason.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
Whereas I didn't ever have to resign, because I was already making films and writing books and doing podcasts, and I just changed the subject of what they were about.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Michael was already a do-it-yourself kind of guy. I was working for the corporate state, and Mom did teach me to stick to my convictions, no matter what those convictions are, and not just go along to get along. That is one of the things
right.
Mom did teach
both right of the boys. Because right is right, wrong is wrong. And
exactly.
Everyone knows that deep down inside. They're just not in touch with that truth yet. And how to get them there. I don't know. I see people as being on this journey, and they have to go on that journey kind of on their own, but you can kind of lead them. But you have to do it in a way that doesn't
push them.
Insult them, because then I think they shut down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. What do you like most about how your boys turned out?
That they can think for themselves. They think logically, and when they put their arguments out there, it makes sense.
People listen too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're on the verge of the next evolution of society.
What is there anything
with any new ideas? You know, it's hard for people to accept, but I think
new ideas are always scary to people. Is there anything you don't like about them? About how they turned out?
About how
I knew
they
you
turned
were
going to
ask that.
There's got to be plenty.
Yeah.
No, I like everything about them.
Excellent.
Of course, I'm kind of biased, but yeah, I mean, I think they treat people well.
Do you have a do you have a favorite?
I'm horrible, man.
Okay.
The youngest.
She doesn't
Each
like how I don't call her every
unique,
Sunday.
Personality. For example, Frank likes to aggravate me.
Yeah.
But he does it in a funny way.
And Nima doesn't call you enough, but you just call him on the podcast.
Right. Nima, yeah, that's the one thing I don't like about Nima. He doesn't call me enough.
Well, Michael feels the same way, so
I feel the same way.
It's not just you, Mom.
I know.
Because our parents aren't here forever.
Ooh, you got the guilt trip there, Nima.
Yeah,
you got it.
Guilting
us. That's right.
We're not here forever either, Mama.
Mom just learned that we have Jewish heritage from Sicily, so she's trying to put that to good use.
I guess that's where that comes from.
Well, you know, my mother passed away about 15 years ago, but she used to tell me when I was a kid that every full moon she'd come back and haunt me after she died and make sure I'm being good.
What?
Yeah.
Which I think
that's
is just
crazy.
It's just her creepy psychological way of, you know, trying to horizontally enforce me into being what she thought was good. But you know, if there is a way for people from beyond the grave to see what they're doing, you know, I've had people say, "Oh, I'm sure she'd be very proud of you." I don't think so, man. She was a statist. I'll say it straight up. I loved her, but yeah, she was a Republican, and you know, she taught me not to challenge authority, and said, even if you know you're right, don't do it, because it's it'll get you in trouble.
Well,
hey, and you
don't
still
know
turned
that.
Out
I
good.
I think she would.
I rebelled
I would
against
she
her.
Would listen to your show, and I think that would cause her to think a little differently. I mean, listening to the show has made me think differently.
Well, you know, if a lot of people's idea of heaven is true, once you pass into it, you have ultimate knowledge of everything. So she wouldn't have to listen to my show to know I'm right. She'd go, damn, I was right. He was right. He was right not to eat his vegetables. I shouldn't have pushed him.
Exactly.
I'm finally eating a lot of vegetables. She could be happy with that. I'm on this paleo diet. I eat a lot of vegetables.
That is so good. I'm making designer waters right now.
Ooh.
I made a cucumber mint and lemon water.
Are those for drinking or wearing, or what do you do with them?
To drink instead of soda. Oh. That's my weakness.
You want to give some freedom recipes out here on the air?
Yeah, you take 2 liters of water, one cucumber, just wash it, slice it up, put it in the water, slice up one lemon, and you want to use around 12 mint leaves. Put the mint in there, and it's just really refreshing. No sugar. You just.
How long do you let it sit?
Huh?
How long does it have to sit?
Between 4 to 6 hours.
In the sun or just in the kitchen?
No, in the fridge.
Okay. Sounds great.
Yeah, so you need a refrigerator too.
We'll make some of that.
That's an important thing for paleo folks like you, Michael, is one of the criticisms paleo people have about the modern diet is all the beverages people consume all day long, every day, sodas and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, well, I'm on a modified
paleo. It's good to have a few options.
I'm drinking a Diet Coke right now.
So do you still drink paleo. Your sodas?
Yeah, but I'm weaning off them, so I'll need something to wean on to.
Try making some recipes with water.
Cool. Yeah. Water do you add fluoride, or I leave the fluoride that's in there?
You love what? The fluoride?
Do you add fluoride, or do you have to add fluoride, or do you just use what's in there?
No fluoride.
No fluoride.
Are you fluoridated water where you're at? Do you filter it out?
I hope not. I probably do, but yeah. I buy bottled water. I don't drink it from the faucet. Hmm. So I'm hoping my bottled water doesn't have
some
it.
Of it does. Some of it's tap water. All right, we're going into a break here. And,
okay.
It's good having you on here, Mom.
It was
Thanks
great
so much for calling,
Mom.
I love you. Bye, Mama. Love you.
Call back anytime.
All right. Love you guys.
Thanks, Mama.
Bye.
Love you too.
Love you. Bye.
Church.
That was a lot of love. I like that.
Oh, worms. Yeah.
That was worm-free love. Worm-free love, man. We'll be back for our final bit here after we...
Let's give out that number, Nima.
No, man, it's a segment. We usually don't give it out at the end.
All right, church.
So I got a couple quick things here. I got
some news we could use.
Yeah. A lot of times when I'm falling asleep, I fall asleep, turn off my computer, wake up, and I have no idea how long I've slept. I found out there's a way to tell when I turn my computer off in Windows. You go into Event Manager and Event Viewer.
Set like a time on it?
Yeah, Event Viewer, and then go to Window Logs Application, and you check it out, and you can find out when you went to sleep. It's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Can't the goons use that against you, though?
Maybe. Anything
the
on
fact
Windows.
That your Windows computer records all its events.
It does. You can tell it not to. But so when we talk about the Freedom Fiends buttons, I sent you some. Did you give some to Frank?
No, I've got them stashed somewhere in the beach house. I need to search for them so I can give him buttons. Yeah.
I'm going
to
hand them out.
I sent him to Nima. He's like, well, thanks for sending me so many, but I don't know what to do with them. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody. And I said, collect all four. Trade them with your wife.
Yeah, I'll give some to Frank. Frank, can you hand them out to some of the pretty ladies?
Oh, yeah, I will.
In my experience, girls wear buttons more than guys. Is that right? They wear them on their like purse and their
Except
little backpack.
Punk rock, yeah, but punk rock guys wear them.
Guys can wear it on their backpack straps, though, as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that picture of Nima climbing a mountain looking really athletic, I'm going to use that for the pod image today. And I said on Facebook that at the exact moment that photo was taken, I was slumped in a chair with the shades drawn trying to get Nima on the phone while chain smoking. Yeah.
I like how you said on the Wednesday podcast that Nima always like a – you said Arab prince, right?
In all those pictures.
Yeah.
Although we shouldn't say that word too loudly in front of my family here. They'll get offended.
Yeah. Arab? We are Persian, not Arab.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, any other... Is that the only news you can use? Is Vent Data, or do you have any other...
Well, there's Boardwalk
Empire. We were talking
Empire.
About here before.
What?
Oh, okay, yeah. Talk about Boardwalk. I was saying we were talking about gear during the break. I don't know if we want to... Nah. Did anybody know that stuff, or it was just basic?
Now, I also wanted to say that I don't believe in reincarnation, but I kind of hope there is, because I want to live in Libpear since I'm spending my life laying the cornerstones for it.
You want to reap some of the rewards.
Yeah, I do.
I was telling my wife, we'll probably live long enough to see the singularity, and we'll just download ourselves into computers so we can see the Libpear from our webcam.
Well, you better learn all the stuff I'm trying to teach everyone how to learn about computer encryption, or else the state will own your soul then. Your soul will live in it
because they'll own my computer.
You'll be in the Utah data center. You will be in a jar, in a drawer, in the central scrutinizer's belly.
The feds will just go put an axe to the rack mount server that my brain's downloaded into.
Yeah,
Yeah. Screw them.
Screw them. State
FTG.
Sucks.
FTG.
So Boardwalk Empire, man. Boardwalk Empire. It's great.
Why is it great? You were telling me, but tell our listeners.
Well, I just want to say, if you haven't watched it, get it all somehow and watch it, because we're going to be talking about it a lot as soon as Nemo has some time to watch the episodes he has. It's an HBO show, stars Steve Buscemi. It's created by a writer from The Sopranos and Martin Scorsese and Mark Wahlberg. And it takes place during Prohibition. It's kind of like The Sopranos during Prohibition. You know, and except like instead of buying politicians, the gangsters are politicians. And it reinforces a lot of what you think is wrong with the state. I think whoever writes it, or one of the writers, may be a libertarian.
Yeah, it's also you were telling me one really of the ladies good. Was like, don't you think all this violence comes from your laws, kind of a thing?
Yeah, and she was one of the prohibitionists, too, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. She was somebody who was like with an alcoholic wife-beating husband and became a prohibitionist because of it. But then she ends up marrying
instead of leaving him, she wanted the state to come in and take care of her personal problems for her.
Right. And then the bootlegger, who's also a politician, has her husband murdered to protect her. And then she ends up marrying him pretty much. But there's actually a conversation there between like a Fed goon who's so horrible. He makes like Hank Schrader and Dan Banning look like nice guys. There's a Fed goon in there like that, prohibition enforcer from the IRS, who at one point is like really disgusted with it. Like, this war on alcohol isn't going well. And he's talking to one of his underlings about like the difference between mala in se and mala prohibita laws, which is, you know, I mean, you learn that in law school first day, but it's also like commonly used in libertarian arguments.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, of course, laws that are actual wrongs against victims versus things that are prohibited by the state or a specific jurisdiction.
Nanny laws.
Yeah. Or victimless crimes versus victimed crimes.
I think we need a better name for nanny laws that's still funny and disparaging like that, but not nanny. Nanny sounds so like, oh, it's not that bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was thinking you didn't want to offend the nannies out there.
Well,
like the actual people who watch kids.
Well, DJ's daughter is a nanny, and she actually took us to task for that. Like, don't call those nanny laws. Yeah. Nannies are good. Everyone always thinks what they're doing is good, but she's good, and she's a good nanny. But the state shouldn't be the nanny for adults.
Yeah, yeah.
The state shouldn't be. I could just end the sentence there, but
the state shouldn't be. Yeah, that's all you need. So another term for nanny laws. I don't know. You got any ideas, Frank?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Not off the top of your head?
I think we need to have a contest. We'll have a contest for that. We need a new word for nanny laws that's like equally insulting and funny and chuckle-inducing, but a little more friggin' serious.
What about stepdaddy laws?
Evil stepdaddy laws. Evil stepdad laws. I don't know.
Or just step-parent laws.
So that's one contest. The other contest, let's reiterate Frank's contest. And the prize is you get on the golden floppy disk of redemption, at least. What's the contest, Frank? Okay. People send in pictures doing what?
You'll send in pictures of yourself posting a sign that you made or had a friend make. And you'll send that in, and whoever has the most creative sign in the most creative area will...
Well, you didn't say what this... no, it's a sign. It's a sign against voting.
Yeah.
Or about the stupidity of voting, and you post it next to some actual, like, on the side of the road.
Political signs.
Vote for this guy. Vote for that tyrant. You post it next to them, and then you post a picture of you. Maybe not necessarily a picture of the person with the sign, because that could be proof of a crime. I mean, that could
incriminating.
Be like, incriminating in some places. So whether or not you want to be in it, that's your choice. But send it to talkback@freedomfiends.com. And we do not encourage you to break any laws here at the Freedom Fiends, because all laws are good and they're for the protection of society.
Mm-hmm. Just get out there and use your freedom of speech.
There you go.
That's all
we're saying.
I know. It's like, constitutionalists out there, the few that are left, what part of like the Constitution hasn't been trampled, do you not get, when we have to put a disclaimer about practicing the First Amendment? Like, really? Okay, don't break any laws in this.
Yeah, yeah. When we're talking about putting up signs that give out an idea.
On public property. Yeah.
Next to other signs that try to get people to vote.
That are not, like, sanctioned. I mean, they don't pay for those, you know. Those politicians don't pay to put them up there. I mean, they do if it's on private property and it's a billboard, but the little roadside paper ones on the two sticks, they put them everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I think they have, like, volunteers, people who volunteer for their campaign, go out and canvas areas and throw those signs down.
Yeah. You know what I learned about Casper recently? There's a law here against having more than three cats or dogs. So if you have a dog or a cat and it has puppies or kittens, you're breaking the law, most likely.
Wow.
Yeah. If they have more than two kittens or
that reminds me of, like, one of those, you know, every now and then people will do those news pieces about, oh, all the silly law or that are still on the books.
Yeah.
You know, these laws from 100 years ago.
That should be on one.
That's what it sounds like.
I know, but it's real and it's recent.
Don't you have to, do you have to license your pets in Casper?
I'm not going to say whether or not you do
because you do. You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know Casper had gone that far. I know. I remember when we were in Washington State in Pasco, they required you to get, like, a dog license to have a dog.
Yeah,
and
you have to chip them.
How ridiculous is that?
They have to be chipped. They don't have to be fixed, but it's $5 to license them if they're fixed and $35 to license them if they're not fixed. So they use that in financial punishment to do things they think you should do, too.
Mm.
To enforce what they think is ethical behavior.
Right, right. Try to create an incentive for canine genital mutilation.
Yeah. And, you know, I always get things. I always get pets fixed. Why do I need a law to tell me that?
I do too, but sometimes I feel kind of dirty about it.
Oh, they're still happy without their nuts.
I guess. I wouldn't be happy without
my dog.
Well, I don't know. I guess I've never not had nuts, so...
Hello.
I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it is a happier life.
Yeah. Yeah. I want an uncircumcised wolf living in my front yard. Keep the state of uncircumcised. I mean, unfixed.
Why does it matter if he's circumcised?
Unfixed.
People circumcise their pets.
I said the wrong thing, and you know.
Okay.
Good luck.
I was like,
good luck circumcising your wolf, people. All right, we're at the end here. This is the Freedom
Wolf.
Fiends, and. Yeah.
And we're talking about dog penis. Peace.
I was going to say, don't listen to anything else. Go listen to our stream, but Ian would yell at me and I would just be kidding anyway, so. Worms.
Yeah. All right, peace.
I am Richard Grove of